This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR.
Hello everyone, you're with Rachel Doré, taking you around the edge once again. Now, I'm in the studio today with someone who's driven over from Fielding, Gary Stoneley. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Rachel. It's good to be here today.
Thank you. Now, you are the initiator, are you, of dynamic fielding?
Yes, I guess the word is initiator, facilitator.
He facilitates. Well, you facilitate the meetings.
That's right.
But you initiated it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It's a community group of fielding residents and people in the Manawatu district, or in the district, MDC district, isn't
it? Yes, it's basically what we've done is we've established a fielding residence group, primarily for people who actually live in or around fielding and who effectively have ties to fielding.
Right, so I'm in the around category, aren't I?
Oh, you probably are. It's a good place to be.
I could say I've got ties because I do have ties in fielding, but not any other sort. I do stuff there.
Yeah, well, any community is more than the people who just live in it. It's
indeed.
Actually the people who come and go, who are around, and it's really about interaction with our surrounding community.
Yeah.
But fielding, there was a strong need, I believe, for fielding to actually have a voice, for the residents to have a voice of their own, which they haven't actually had.
Now, this is an interesting thing. Why? Why haven't they? Because there have been groups, groups that have become organisations anyway, that's probably the downfall, who have said they're going to do stuff for fielding and make fielding better or whatever. How come you feel that the residents didn't have a voice or don't currently have a voice?
I think from what I've actually found is living most of my life in fielding and in the area, but not actually working in the community. I think coming into the community to work in it just on 3-odd years ago, I noticed how people actually do interact. I noticed the huge number of community organisations and groups that we do actually have. But each individual organisation effectively has its own agenda, it has its own pathway on what it's actually trying to achieve. I spent some time involved with the Fielding Community Committee, which was set up a few years ago in conjunction with the council and was very much council-led. From that, I actually found that Fielding residents really didn't actually raise their voice.
Interesting.
Well, it's hard to explain, but we do have quite a strong population, but a lot of our population is also people who live out of the town, people who may work at places like Ohakia, Palmerston North, and so on, and fielding is really their base for just sleeping and living. We have a huge number of groups, but it doesn't mean that we're strongly cohesive.
Yeah, that's interesting. You've said two interesting things now. The fact that the whole thing's interesting, Gary, I'm not trying to, yeah, that you have said they didn't raise their voice or they didn't, you know, they didn't feel heard, they didn't use the voice they had, and also that they aren't. Sorry, you've just forgotten what he said. Sorry, can you cut this bit out? What was the other thing?
Okay.
The last thing you said.
The bit effectively about that they're not strongly cohesive.
Oh, that's it. Cohesion. Social
yes.
cohesion.
Yes.
Yes. That's, yeah. The other thing you said was social cohesion, the fact that they don't feel there is no cohesion. Why not? What
does
it take for
I find it very hard to explain. I run into a lot of people who have come into our township, into our area from other places, And they say that in some ways the community doesn't quite gel perhaps as strongly as it should. We do have several...
Did they give you examples or why? Did they tell you why?
No, they didn't. That's the thing. And it's a matter of actually trying to, I guess in a way we need to research and look inwards, look at ourselves and say, well, what are we doing as a community? What makes up our community? We've got several organisations like Rotary and Lions who actually do projects and things like that. We have got quite a few church groups. We have got SYNCOS, which is a basically a social service
network
group, yeah. And that's for other organisations. But we don't actually have anything for the actual residents to pull them together. I guess one of the things I noticed was last year when the council did its 10-year long-term plan, and an initiative was put forward for a fairer rating differential. The reason being that Fielding residents actually pay amongst the highest rates in New Zealand. That is quite an issue. And while we do have quite a few well-off families in our town, we also have a lot of people with lower income as well. That submission went through, or I guess it went out to the public, and there was a lot of very strong lobbying from the rural communities. The rural communities were able to, I guess, get themselves organised to put in submissions against the changes as it was actually going to affect them detrimentally. And they were able to sway the vote so that no change actually went through. So as to whether the change was right or wrong, one of the things that did actually happen was that Fielding residents effectively didn't raise their voice. Fielding residents did, perhaps it was because that Fielding residents thought, well, no, everything's going to be fine, that there is a proposal to, I guess, change the rating differential so that... it was fairer to Fielding residents, and I guess they thought, well, this is actually good for us. But by not actually raising their voice and saying, hey, yes, we like this and we think this is the correct thing that you should do, they did not make a great number of submissions.
How interesting. What is it that makes people not speak up?
I don't know. Is it perhaps that we get a little bit complacent? We are comfortable as to where we are, and we think, well, everything's going to be good. One of the issues is that for councils to actually make decisions, they have to consider all the submissions that are actually made.
Mm.
And, of course, if you've got a very strong rural group making submissions and you've got a town group that's not making any submissions, then that town group effectively is not being heard.
So what can be done to get people... Because you say we as if you're one of them, but you're clearly not one of them because you've started this group.
I think it's important. I think people's voice is important for everything we do. If we want to see changes for the future in our community, in our township, then we need to be saying, hey, this is what we actually want. This is like what we would like to see happen. If we don't actually step up and raise our voice... and it can be about sustainability issues, it can be about town planning, it can be about roading. If we don't step up and actually put our voice out there and say, hey, this is what we want, then I guess the council and the decision makers don't know what we're thinking. We've got to tell people.
So silence is an implied consent in a way.
Well, I guess silent is an implied consent to let anything happen.
Yeah, exactly. So dynamic Fielding as a group is really to get people together to talk about and consider supporting one another to make submissions to council and look at monitoring decisions that are being made that concern the infrastructure and things that are going to directly affect the status, economic or otherwise, of fielding itself. Is that about right?
Yes, it is. It's very much about having an awareness of what is actually going on.
Right.
It's about connecting our community by consulting with them and by supporting them to help them make submissions, to help them find out information.
Now, you use the word consulting.
Yes.
Because, you know, in the recent time since the 80s, the word consultation and consulting has become a bit of a double-speak word. It doesn't mean to dialogue and exchange ideas. It means to tell people what to do. So
okay. And I think that's the difference. I mean, we're looking at moving to the situation of providing forums where people can discuss ideas and issues and that we can develop solutions.
Right. So how are you going to do it?
Now, that's a big
tough question.
So what we've done initially is we've actually had our first meeting. We have sent out our first newsletter, and we haven't got big numbers at this stage, but we've got 41 people subscribed to that newsletter. So from a very small start, that's feet on the ground and moving. Our next step from here is obviously to talk with those people who want to play an active role in, I guess, encouraging our community to participate and sharing information, and to move it forward onto, I guess, I hate to say the word, but more of a structured organisation.
Now, the bit that's missing
is...
because you're talking about getting the community to participate.
Yes.
Isn't the bit that's missing is the idea of your group, at the moment it's not a legitimate, you know, it's still a budding organisation,
yep,
being a listening ear or to and exchanging views.
That is very, very much it. And I guess one of the things we're actually very open to is encouraging out-of-the-box ideas.
Yeah, but collecting info. Because if people don't know that their voice will be heard, then they won't say anything.
No, and that's correct. And I think that's going to be part of it, where we'll be surveying people and we'll be saying, okay, what are your issues and concerns? What sort of support can we actually give you to actually... I guess, raise your issues and to also find out what is happening in the community.
Does it have to be... I'm sorry, I'm not really trying... You know, I just have to do this. Does it have to be about concerns?
No, it doesn't.
Like, where's the fun, Gary?
Well, that's the thing, and we put that in there, and it needs to be fun.
There hasn't
and
been
that's
any
the reality.
Fun.
So
it is reality. When I went to that meeting... And I thought fun might have been mentioned, and it wasn't.
Okay, now fun
I
was mentioned.
I came away feeling fun deprived.
Fun was mentioned somewhere. And that's one of the things. I guess it's an idea, is what we want to do is we want to pull it in so that people know that they can get together, they can discuss issues, sometimes lightheartedly, sometimes seriously, put their ideas out there, and that we can actually... use the skills and the expertise that we've got within us and within the wider community to support these people. And that's it. We really want to assist and encourage people.
Because it's really good that people know that their concerns can be aired. That's terribly important.
Well, it is. And
but it doesn't. You don't want it to become a moan fest.
No. But a lot of the decision-making that does actually happen is effectively where the, I guess you could say, the community administrators, if you'd like to call them that, which is the likes of the council, the local authority and so on, they will have projects and they will take tasks on and they will complete them. And often the community is not actually aware of what's actually happening until after it has happened.
Yeah, that's true.
And this goes back to your you speaking about consultation and what it actually means, and it's a word that is actually used a lot. But often it seems to be that we are told that there is an idea or a project and this is what we're going to do. Now we're going to go out and consult the community about it. And I think in any community, in any town, for it to grow positively towards the future, the lead actually has to come from the people. I don't necessarily believe that leading from the top is the way that you build a community.
I think that you're right, and I think that the community, it's really good for the community to become educated and to be sure that the members of the community are not myopic in their approach to what's possible.
Yes, we've definitely had to go into things with our eyes wide open. It's very, very easy to just focus on one issue. But obviously everything that happens in life has an impact. And going back to the fun side, we can build really strong communities by actually engaging better with our residents. By getting out and supporting them. We all have, I guess, different agendas, different barrows to push. So that's just what makes us who we are. The thing is to actually look at a broad picture and say, hey, this is Fielding, this is our community. It's an absolutely fantastic place to be. But we believe we can actually make it better, and that we believe we can make it better for the future. And I guess that's really what we're looking at.
Interesting, very interesting. Now, before we go ahead, and you've got pieces of paper that look like interesting things going on, but before we do that, give us a little bit of a rundown about why you personally are so passionate and passionate enough to start this group, Gary.
Very hard to say. We all have our own makeup as far as personality and so on, and it may be that I'm not the right person to actually facilitate this in the end. But the fact is, I've got it started, and I believe it's something that's important.
Yeah, I think so too. You used to be part of the
neighbourhood support.
That's right. Yes, you were the go-to guy for neighbourhood support.
Okay.
How many years did you do that?
So neighbourhood support, so I was involved in the organisation in Fielding for just over 2.5 years. So it wasn't a huge period of time. A lot of changes happened during that time. In Fielding, we had considerable changes within our police force. We had structuring within our council and within civil defence. They all had an impact, I guess, on the organisation.
Was that a good place for you to have your ear to the ground so that you could pick up on these unvoiced voices?
It was a very good place to have your ear on the ground, and obviously you're in a situation where you hear so many different things, many different opinions. And it's the honesty of people that is important. Sometimes we need to listen to people. We need to perhaps take a step back and consider it. But if a person is coming to you from a strong point of view, there is always a good reason behind it. So we need to really consider what people are saying in our community. We need to listen to those people. But also we actually have to engage with them properly, and that's the hardest thing. I guess one of the biggest challenges I found when I was doing the neighbourhood support role was the huge move towards social media communications and marketing.
Yes.
And that was being done by all organisations. It's used very commonly now by the police to put alerts out and so on. It's used by businesses when they identify crime like shoplifting and so on. It's used by the council and other community organisations to put messages out, to list events, to tell people what's going on. But we have a very high percentage of our population who won't use social media, who aren't interested.
And so they're marginalised because they're not getting the information.
They are marginalised. And, of course, we also have a lot of people who, for various reasons, do not or cannot use computers and tablets and so on. So the more we move to electronic means of communication, the more we actually distance ourselves from certain segments of our population. And I think we need to go back to basics with communication. I think we need to go back to supporting people at the grassroots.
What do you mean by support? What sort of support do you mean?
A lot of people want to feel that they are involved. They want to feel that they are able to participate in the community, and they look for opportunities when they where they can actually do that. If the majority of information is going out through social media, then all of those people who don't use that social media, they are not seeing those opportunities. They don't know what is out there.
The local paper used to serve as a way to connect people, didn't it? It doesn't anymore, but it used to. So that's gone. But how many clubs, interest clubs, hobby groups and things are there in Fielding? I know it's terribly well served.
There is a huge number.
Huge number of clubs.
And there is currently a listing or a database that is held by the Fielding Information Centre where they have most of those clubs and organisations listed. But, again, those organisations aren't necessarily getting their message out to the wider community.
So what do you suggest other than... Okay, two questions coming at once, sorry. Question number one... Do you think Dynamic Fielding as a as an organisation or as a group at the moment has the skills and the ability together to do the business of reaching people who are currently disenfranchised, if you like, from connecting with the kinds of support or the kinds of networks that they need to because of the social media? And how would you go about that? Those were my two questions.
Okay. Number one, I do believe we have the skills, but the biggest resource and the most important resource in any organisation is people. Before you consider any technology, it is people that is your greatest resource. And to make something succeed, for example, a large communication network getting messages out, you need to have the support of the people involved.
Yeah, but people and support, those two things are inanimate objects in the mind.
Well, they are until they actually start acting.
Connecting, yes.
So I look at examples, which, again, these are the things which I have learnt, I guess, and picked up more over the past few years with a very strong awareness of how our communities operate. Where we look at communities like Hamatangi and Sanson and Rongatea and out Pohangana, Ashurst Way, where they are able to produce community newsletters, very effective ones, which actually go out to the residents, or the residents can pick them up from certain locations.
So they're actually serving as a small... What they're doing what the community newspaper used to
That's
do.
That's right.
And Halcombe has got one.
Yes.
Halcombe's got one. And this, the community in Waitunu West, they... I haven't actually seen a newsletter from them, but their school newsletter gets dropped in. And I was speaking to the woman at the school the other day, and their community is very tight, very, very active.
Right.
Is Fielding just a bit getting a bit broad? And you were talking earlier about people who reside, they sleep in Fielding.
That's right.
But they actually commute elsewhere, Whanganui.
Yes.
you know, Palmerston North, all over the place.
Some quite distances.
So it's a bit too small to have suburbs with their own independent communities. How are you going to embrace the what Fielding is becoming as it's getting bigger and bigger? How are you going to do that?
I think you've got to do a multi-tiered approach.
Yes.
And that's very important. As far as communication goes, initially what we've started out is we've sent out our first initial newsletter, which was nothing fancy, but we've sent it out, and that's newsletter number one. Now, our first issue only went out by effectively email.
Yes.
The step from there is to basically say to the residents in Fielding and to the organisations that are there, all community organisations, is that, hey, we actually want to promote what you are doing. We want to help you get your message out to the community, and we want to help the community to be better engaged with you. Now, perhaps it can be that we, as a larger town, can actually take on some of the simple processes that the likes of Ashurst and Hamitaki and so on have done, and basically go back to basics. It's not that
it's
hard.
It's so
to
much actually. Easier these days with computers, to
it is.
Staple together some sheets and make it a really interesting newsletter that comes out.
And that's, again, where you can bring in the humour and so on.
Mm.
But effectively, for a lot of us now who do actually use the computer quite a lot, the internet a lot, and we may use things like Facebook and Twitter and so on, we are seeing feeds continually of different events happening, this happening and so on, of what is going on in the community. But that communication cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it may be there one day. You may not see it again for another 3 or 4 days. You may have to go hunting for it to try and find it.
Mm.
By having a mix of perhaps social media, email, newsletter, by using a website, so those are technology issues.
Yeah, they're all technology.
And by having paper-based communication, which can go out to those people who want it.
Well, they could pick it up from the library.
That's right. So they can pick it up from places like the library, from the information centres, from some businesses and so on. They can be printed, or a master copy, an email copy, can be supplied to rest homes and... places like that. The fact is we want to get that multiple information out there, those multiple sources of information out
there. Well, you're talking about, again, information. Part of that information is informing people that you want to hear back from those people.
We need.
Or is it going to be a one-way street?
It's about contributing. I don't believe in one-way streaks. It was a one-way streak, I wouldn't be doing
this. So it's not
this.
Just about information. It's actually starting the connection.
It's really about engaging.
Yeah, engaging. But when you talk about information, that's very one way. So it's about creating avenues of connection.
It is. And it can be small avenues. And, for example, we have quite a few different groups in Fielding. Who have actually offered in the past that if we have a community newsletter, they would like to help to actually deliver it and so on.
Very
now,
good.
And of course, what that does again, just by doing that, just by walking around with pieces of paper and handing them to people,
it's an opportunity.
You are creating social interaction.
Exactly. This is
building
great.
Friendships.
Exactly.
So it can be very small. Effectively, with our organisation now, what we'll be looking at is we'll be looking at going through to a second meeting for key people who would like to take it further. We'll be developing a plan.
I just need to stop you there, and we may backtrack. We need to stop for a break.
Sounds good to me.
Apparently. All right, so we'll be back in a minute.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on NPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for NPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
That again. Right, this is Rachel DeRay. You're back with Round the Edge. I'm talking to Gary Stoley from Fielding, who is the person who initiated Dynamic Fielding, a group that he hopes will connect the residents of Fielding with one another to raise concerns, to voice concerns, and to actually get people connected. Is that right? Just about?
Yes, it is.
All right. So you were about to tell me about the next step. So you've had one meeting, as you said. So what's the next step, Gary? Okay.
Well, our first meeting actually went very well. We held that down at the Blended Cafe and Smoothie Bar, who provided
cafe.
The venue.
Nice cafe.
It was a great venue for actually doing this sort of thing. We had a good number of people there. We had 26 people at our first meeting. And one of the key issues that was actually discussed at that meeting was the problem with the intersections in Fielding at Lytton Street and East Street. So there was a key.
I thought it was Denby.
Well, Denby, there are actually several. The key ones with the petitions are the ones up near the school, which is by Lytton Street School
where
and the intermediate.
Is.
Yes,
yeah,
with
yeah,
the angled
yeah.
with the angled crossing.
Oh yeah.
So. That actually coincided quite well, and that was one of the main issues that we discussed. And there's more work being done on that. From there, we've basically taken a break, and now we need to move on to the next step, which is, I guess, getting our key players together, the people.
What do you mean key players? That's very jargony, Gary.
Oh, very jargony. Sorry about that. I guess the people who have actually put their hands up and said, yes, we would actually like to help to get this up and running properly.
Oh, they're
and
called
to get
key
the group
players
going.
Now, not just people who put their hands up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No. Well, I'm interested to know.
Idea of the people who put their hands up. They definitely did that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Ticks
too.
And boxes.
Yeah.
So. The group has been started effectively. It's Fielding Residents Group. The name that's actually been given to it, which may change down the track, as these things often do, is Dynamic Fielding. And the reason that was actually chosen is that because dynamic means full of energy. It means new ideas and determined to succeed.
That was the thing that attracted me. But the meeting, our first meeting, wasn't about that at all. It was about intersections.
Yes,
which
it was.
Which was a bit dismaying.
Well, I guess it's a matter that if there is an issue or a problem that does need to be discussed and raised out in the community, then that's part of what this group is actually about.
Right.
So it is quite important. But the long-term goal is actually to better engage with our residents,
right.
To get our residents to actually use their voice to speak up, to effectively participate and to get other people involved.
Right.
To basically grab the person next to you who's sitting there at a loose end and wants to do something in the community and say, hey, let's go and create an opportunity.
Right. Right. And so the people who put their hands up, they must have spoken to you privately or online or...
Effectively, we went for the simple process, which was effectively a sign-in sheet at when we had our first meeting.
I was there.
And I
put my name down, yeah.
Yep. And there was obviously a bit just an option to say if people would actually like to help out with the group. So that's the step we are. And, of course, we've had informal discussions, people who have come up and who have said, hey, this is a great thing. We were... told at our first meeting that the last time that something like this was organised was about 20-odd years ago, which surprised me.
Yes.
When you think of the size of Fielding and
yes.
our population base. I guess we're looking for positives here. We're looking at saying, hey, we've got a huge diverse population.
There's a lot of talent.
Let's see if we can connect to that population a little bit better.
Great. That's so good. It's so good to hear. So you've got on your piece of paper there, you've got Thursday the 12th. Oh, that was the first meeting.
Yes.
When's the next meeting?
Well, the next meeting we actually have to organise. I guess I'm like a lot of people, I wear multiple hats. The thing about taking something like this and getting it started is we take the first steps and then we need to basically focus a little bit and we need to move on to the next step. So the next step will actually be talking with those people, getting together and meeting with those people who have said, hey, yes, I put my hand up and I would actually like to help out more with this.
Oh, so it won't be like an open meeting?
I think that's coming next. It was suggested at the next meeting that we hold another one in 2 months, and I think that's quite good. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we need to move faster than that.
Yeah. Otherwise it's sort of gets frayed around the edges
and people forget. Yep.
Yeah. Got to keep the ball rolling.
I mean, Rachel, you've mentioned comments about fun and that sort of thing, and that's the thing that we want when we actually have a meeting. We don't want to be going to somewhere where we're basically all just sitting around a table looking bored and feeling structured. We actually want people to basically, be engaged with a feeling of, I don't know if lightness is the right word, but we don't want people to feel like they're being dragged down.
No, I think that's a really important thing. And it isn't always about the way that the tone of the meeting or the sometimes really serious topics that need to be addressed and worked out. But sometimes exploring what kinds of great things can be achieved in fielding, how to utilise the talent and the diversity and how to celebrate what fielding can be.
And I think that's part of it. I've spent a bit of time over the past few years working with adults with some quite severe learning and physical disabilities. And as a teacher, I've dealt with children with all sorts of different skill sets. In our society, we have a huge range of personalities and skills that we don't necessarily recognise.
Exactly.
A lot of people out there can contribute so well into our society, and we can create opportunities for them where sometimes we haven't. What I'm saying is for example, I look at organisations and the name has gone from me, but I know up near in Dargaville and Kaitaia, there is a massive workforce, I guess, an educational centre for adults with learning disabilities, and where they're very well engaged in the community. Fielding has got quite a high population base of people with disability, but often we don't see those people out and about and engaged in our community. And they want to feel appreciated, they want to feel valued. By using perhaps with an organisation like this, as a fielding residence group, dynamic fielding, perhaps what we can do is we can think out of the box and we can provide solutions. We can perhaps use people who perhaps semi-retired, who have got skills, who want to contribute their time to help coach and mentor other people.
Indeed.
Constructing all sorts of different things.
You've got to,
building artwork.
Think creatively. Yes, exactly.
And we can do that. And,
absolutely.
I think sometimes we need to take a wider societal approach.
Absolutely.
Than just within one organisation.
Yeah, get off the intersections and start looking broadly across everything.
Have
you thought? Well, when I saw dynamic fielding as a title, I felt excited. Because one of the things that I would love to see, you can accept this as a contribution, I would love to see all the groups in fielding getting together and having like an expo where they each represent, you know, so that other residents who don't know what's going on, and there are a lot of new people coming into the district, can actually walk around and see the Ko-Fi Quilters and the Fielding Music Society and all the other groups, art groups and representative groups, even our writers' groups and so forth, and actually sample and see the wealth of talents and abilities and what's on offer inside the community. Because there are a lot of things. Oh, you've got the Rhodes Society, the Dahlia Society, you name it. If there's a society, Fielding's practically got it. But a lot of them are under the radar.
That's right.
You can't see where they are. They're in the woodwork deep.
And I think that's not just being under the radar. A lot of them are not even known.
No,
that's
people
what I mean. They're not aware that they're there.
And the funny thing is, Gary, these people often, when I worked for the paper, I'd hear them saying, you know, we need new members and we don't know how to get new, but no one knows they're there.
Yes, and I think that's one of the things. And I started an initiative a couple of years ago, and I passed it on and forwarded it to the previous Fielding Community Committee. And that was effectively having one information point where people could effectively access all of these groups.
But it needs to be more than an information centre.
I think so. And that's the thing. And what we need to do is we need to have a situation where those groups are actually coming together and they are participating.
Exactly.
This is where the likes of perhaps a community newsletter can come in because, again, they are able to put their two cents worth in. They're able to put in there and say, hey, this is us. This is what we are actually doing.
So basically serving the purpose of the original purpose of a community newspaper.
Which is effectively knowledge.
It's sharing knowledge, and connection.
Knowledge is power. Words are power.
And
but
connection.
Only if you use them.
Okay.
And the same with residents speaking up. It's great to say what we think about something in a situation of it might be council plans, future developments. It's great to talk to the person next to you about it. But if we don't actually use our voice and speak to the council, the same with the organisations, with the clubs. A lot of clubs we actually do have out there, community organisations, are struggling. A lot of them have memberships where the people are perhaps 80 to 90% retired. Where perhaps it's the same members that it has been for the last 10 years to 15 years.
Or longer. Some of those groups have been, you know, there are people that have been doing it for 30 years.
And
they want new blood.
That's right.
But they're not getting the message out to attract new blood.
So hopefully, as an organisation, those are things that we can do.
I think they'd be grand.
So one of the steps down the track, which is on, I guess, in my long-term plan for where I see things going, is to basically start inviting the organisations to come and meet.
I think that's a fabulous idea, yes.
And from there, we build. So I guess to start with, we're going into several small steps. The small steps are effectively to get a small core group running who are going to take a little bit of a lead to help boost this and to plan in a little bit more detail.
Yes.
And then to bring in all those community organisations.
Right.
To bring in all the Rotaries, to bring in all the Lions, to bring in all the quilting clubs,
all the
art clubs.
All the little groups that are out there.
All the remote control car clubs, all of those bits and pieces. Woodwork, that's right.
All kinds.
But also in the process to say, hey, what skills have we got and opportunities have we got that will benefit other people in our community?
Well, they all benefit other people in the community, really. And when they're all connected up together, it becomes a mighty powerhouse, really, once they're connected.
I think that's it.
That's it. It's about connecting.
There are great
it?
Opportunities. We see and we hear of these wonderful things that are actually happening around the world. We see great ideas and we look at it and we think, well, that's good. But sometimes as a community, we need to actually step up and say, hey, we want to actually do this. Let's take this on board and let's try it. Let's take a risk.
And it's really good to look at new ideas that may be coming from the community itself, which is, you know, there's advantages to little wee groups, like a little hand-picked people.
Yes.
Lots of people may have put up their hands and you've decided, or two or three people decided to hand-pick out of them. That's one way to go. But there could be advantages in opening a little the door, just a little, so that creative ideas can be contributed.
And I think the creative ideas are the thing. The most significant changes that happen in the world are generally from people who think outside the box. Who are prepared to break the mold.
Yes, indeed.
Although
they're very annoying. I notice, because I am one, and I know how often I annoy people.
I think that sometimes that's it. I think a lot of people do not like the routines and the structure changed. But I think sometimes we need to actually do that.
Open it up.
And effectively, if we don't have a wake-up call occasionally, then effectively we're all going to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily the best way to
operate. And that could be where the complacency comes in, because I don't mean to be mean about fielding, because I've done a lot of stuff in fielding, and I've done what I can to promote fielding with the Manawatu Writers Festival twice and so on, and I think fielding's got huge potential. But I do wonder whether there isn't a degree of complacency about how beautiful it is, how friendly it is. We're all right, Jack, mentality that may be. I'm not saying everyone should keep complaining. It's not about having a whinge fest, as I said before, but just looking always more creatively, having the windows open for the things to blow through, blow the cobwebs off, because complacency can be dangerous.
I think so. I think that sometimes we need to look a little bit deeper.
Yeah, that's it. Windows open and deeper.
Yep. It's very easy to look on the surface and say, yes, we've got the most beautiful town, and we've got fantastic parks, and we've got this, and we've got that, and we're achieving so well. But the social cohesiveness and pulling the organisations together, getting people involved and active, that is a big challenge. Getting people to speak up is a challenge.
I think people speak up when they begin to trust one another as well. So maybe the big step is to get people connected, because once people are connected, they'll begin
I think, as we said in the last, or as I discussed in the last session, was that I guess sometimes leadership has to come from the people. The ideas and the initiative has to come from the people and the community.
And your handpicked, what do you call them, key player people?
Key players
people
are the
people. Put their hand up.
They will put their hand
whatever
up.
Whatever you want to call them that you've picked out of that, the people.
And they will take the initiative to move forward.
Yes, but they need to be listening, really, rather than pushing
listening
their own
to
barrows.
The community.
Listening, because if leadership and initiatives are going to come from the people, those hand-picked people who put the hands up that you've picked can't just close themselves off. You know, it's got to be more than
I think
that.
So what we're really looking at is we're saying that dynamic fielding, it is a residence group, it's a fielding residence group, but it's a bit more than that. I guess I've summarised it as it's a community think tank.
That's a nice way to put it.
The ideas and the initiative is actually coming from the people. But not only that we can use our ideas and initiative to actually support and encourage other people. So many opportunities out there.
Yeah, and the ear. Something about the ear, the listening ear.
Yes.
And the connections.
Yes, and we have to hear what's happening.
Yes.
But sometimes we also need to read it.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, hearing, reading, but connecting is the primary, isn't it?
Really, it's about communicating with our people.
Well, having our people communicate with you. Two-way communication.
It is always two-way. You can't. One-way communication just doesn't work.
We notice. That's exactly what the issue is, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Oh, Gary, this sounds really, really exciting. I'm excited again. Okay. I was less excited after that first meeting.
Okay, sometimes that actually happens, and this is the thing, and it's a matter as to how we get the ideas out there, how we present things to people.
And how you that get is the ideas challenge. In. Because you were talking about two-way, and you said ideas and leadership coming from the people, so it's also about how you get the ideas in.
Yes, it is. Yep. I guess I'm a person where I like to listen to people who have got ideas from out of the box. I like to observe what's happening overseas, great success stories and so on. And I like to see, hey, is there an opportunity to bring that initiative into our community and to take it further? We shouldn't be in a situation where I guess our council is taking the lead on community projects and things like that. Really what should be happening is that people should be going to the council and saying, we have this really great idea. We would like to get it operating in our community. How can you help us to do this?
Very good. That's exactly it. That's a great thing to end on.
Wonderful.
Have you got anything else that we've... Have we left anything out? Do you feel satisfied? Has this been a good interview for you?
I think it's been a great interview.
Did you get a chance to say everything?
I think we've covered things quite well, but the main thing is that what we've got is that for Fielding Residents, we have set up this Fielding Residents group. It is more than just a group to actually come along and just discuss concerns and issues.
Good.
It is about coming forward with suggestions, with ideas, no matter how frivolous they may be.
Oh, frivolity. We have to have some frivolity.
But effectively engaging the whole community, not just segments of it.
Yeah, very good. And if people want to know more, how do they get hold of you so you can find...
The easiest way to get hold of me... Mm. And like most people, I can be rather busy, but the easiest way to get hold of me is by email.
Mm.
You can get hold of me through dynamicfielding@gmail.com.
Okay. Now, is it going to be useful for someone to put it in the subject line that they're interested? What should they put in the subject line so it grabs your attention? Or you just automatically read all your emails?
Oh, I automatically read all my emails.
What a good lad you are.
But no, so dynamicfielding@gmail.com.
Yep.
And obviously, so it's Gary Stoneley. Very easy to find me. I can be accessed through social media and things like that.
Right.
I'm around and about. So we would like to hear from you.
Very good. Yes. He's serious. I can see. Look, you should see him now being serious across from me. The microphone, he's looking extremely serious. So do get hold of Gary Stoneley, dynamicfielding@gmail.com. If you have anything to say about Fielding, or if you have anything to offer Fielding, how's that?
I think that's absolutely wonderful.
Great.
Okay, and we'll meet back again in 12 months and we'll see how we've gone.
Wait a minute, what do you mean? Are you going somewhere? Am I going somewhere? Surely I'll hear from you between now and then.
I think so. So communication will be going out. People can actually subscribe to our newsletter and our updates, so we'll be sending them out by email, and we will be going to printed communication very shortly.
That's the other thing. Use the email address dynamicfielding@gmail.com if you would like to be kept informed.
Yes.
To be on the mailing list.
Yes,
emailing
please,
list.
Please do
yes,
so.
There's a point.
So please get in touch. If you are a Fielding resident or you're involved with Fielding, if you have some great ideas on how we can improve our community, on how we can better engage our residents, make changes, we would love to hear from you.
Or if you've got any frivolities.
Frivolities always.
Absolutely. Vitamin ready. Okay, thank you, Gary Stoneley.
Thank you, Rachel.
This is Rachel Gray. Signing off and going further around the edge than you can imagine. Bye for now.